Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 13th Chapter, Text 48. This chapter is entitled as Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Tad Idam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Atmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Anantaro Bhati Pashya Tam Mayayorudha Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Antaro Bhubhati Antaro Antaro Bhati Pashyatam Mayayorudha Pashyatam Mayayorudha Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Swadri Antaro Antaro Bhati Pashyatam Mayayorudha Tadidam Bhagavan Rajan Eka Atmatmanam Swadri Antaro Anantaro Bhati Pashyatam Mayayorudha Tat, therefore, Idam, this manifestation, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Rajan, O King, Ekaha, one without a second, Atma, the super soul, Atmanam, by his energies, Swadrik, qualitatively like him, Antaraha, without, Anantaraha, within and by himself, Bhati, so manifest, Pashya, look, Tam, unto him only, Mayaya, by manifestations of different energies, Urudha, appears to be many. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests Himself by different energies, and is both within and without. Please repeat after me. Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies, and is both within and without. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. But he manifests himself in different energies because he is by nature blissful. The living beings are also manifestations of his marginal energy, qualitatively one with the Lord. And there are innumerable living beings both within and without the external and internal energies of the Lord. Since the spiritual world is a manifestation of the Lord, manifestation of the Lord's internal energy, the living beings within that internal potency are qualitatively one with the Lord, without contamination from the external potency. Although qualitatively one with the Lord, the living being, due to contamination of the material world, is pervertedly manifested, and therefore he experiences so-called happiness and distress in the material world. Such experiences are all ephemeral and do not affect the spirit soul. The perception of such ephemeral happiness and distress is due only to the forgetfulness of his qualities, which are equal to the Lord's. There is, however, a regular current from the Lord himself, from within and without, by which to rectify the fallen condition of the living beings. From within he corrects the desiring living beings as localized Paramatma, and from without he corrects by his manifestations the spiritual master and the revealed scriptures. One should look unto the Lord. One should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness and distress, but he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. By his order only one should become a spiritual master and cooperate with the Lord. One should not become a spiritual master for one's personal benefit, for some material gain, or as an avenue for business or occupation for earning livelihood. Bona fide spiritual masters who look unto the Supreme Lord to cooperate with him are actually qualitatively one with the Lord. And the forgetful ones are perverted reflections only. Yudhishthir Maharaj is advised by Narad, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but to look only unto the Lord to execute the mission for which the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganam Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganam Lalita Shri Vishakhan Nitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशा कल्पतरुभश्च कृपा सिंधु भैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। तदिदं भगवान राजन एक आत्मात्मनं श्वद्रिक अंतरोनंतरो भाति पश्यत्तं माययोरुधा। Therefore, O King, you should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second, and who manifests himself by different energies and is both within and without. So, Narad Muni is instructing King Dhritarashtra, when Dhritarashtra was, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Narada Muni is instructing Yudhishthir Maharaj, when Yudhishthir Maharaj was very much afflicted by the departure of Dhritarashtra, his uncle. Dhritarashtra was living in the house of the Pandavas after the battle of Kurukshetra, where he lost all his sons. And it was Bhim who actually killed his sons. And Dhritarashtra was inimical towards the Pandavas from the very beginning. He became very envious of the Pandavas, that his son could not become the king, but his younger brother's son, Yudhishthir Maharaj, since he became the firstborn in the family, was natural successor to the throne. From the name itself, we can see the character of Dhritarashtra. Generally, the Sanskrit names are significant. Dhritarashtra means, Dhrita means one who tries to hold on to, and Rashtra means the kingdom. One who, although not eligible to become a king, is trying to hold on to his kingdom. That was the natural characteristic of Dhritarashtra. It's unfortunate though, although he was the elder son, the eldest in the family, but he couldn't become a king because he was born blind. And actually, Mahabharata is a very, very wonderful history of ancient human civilization. It's not only it's the history of India. Actually, we have to understand that at that time there was only one nation. The entire earth planet was one nation. And this is the history of mankind. It's the history of human civilization. The royal family that ruled over the earth planet, recorded anecdotes of the happenings is recorded in Mahabharata. In Mahabharata we see there's a very beautiful turn of events, and actually Mahabharata indicates another very important factor, that is how karmic reaction is the ultimate cause of whatever is happening in this world. When we see things from a very narrow perspective, we do not get a proper picture. We rather tend to think that things are happening just by chance. But when we see things in a broader perspective, then it becomes clear that everything is happening as a reaction of previous actions. Nothing happens by chance or accident. Mahabharata doesn't deal with just one lifetime. It's dealing with the happenings of a man's life as a result of his previous life's actions. The many lives are actually recorded. Like if we go back at the beginning of if we trace back, then we see Bhishma, how he was actually one of the Vasus, the eight Vasus, the eight demigods. They are actually brothers. They are related to each other. These brothers were traveling through the different planetary systems. And while traveling through the space, they came across this beautiful, beautiful hermitage of Vasishtha Muni, a very exalted sage. And in that ashram, they saw a beautiful cow, Nandini. And they started to discuss among themselves that this Nandini is a Surabhi cow. Nandini can fulfill any desire of anyone. If one approaches Nandini with any desire, prays to her for fulfilling that desire, Nandini will fulfill that desire. Not anyone. When one is favorably disposed and when Nandini is favorably disposed to that person, Nandini can fulfill any desire of that person. So one of the Vasu's wife requested her husband that please let's get this cow to give it to a friend of mine as a present. And all the Vasus told her, please don't desire such an undesirable object. Because Nandini belongs to Vasishtha. And if Vasishtha, if we take the cow, Vasishtha will be very upset. And besides that, it's not appropriate to steal something. But she kept on insisting, no, please get this cow for me. So then the 8 Vasus stole the cow, Nandini. And then when Vasishtha came back to the ashram and found that Nandini was missing, he became perturbed. And then he sat on his meditation. And in his meditation, he saw the past. These very exalted personalities can actually see time in 3 aspects, past, present and future. Therefore they are known as Trikalagya or Trikaladarshi. One who can see Kala or time in 3 aspects, past, present and future. And Vasishtha saw that these Vasus came and stole the cows. And Vasishtha said that these people, these individuals are not fit to be the denizens of heaven. Their actions are not befitting to the residents of the denizens of heaven. So let them lose their right to remain in the heavenly planet. Let them fall down and take birth in the earth planet. So when the Vasus got to know that Vasishtha has cursed them in such a way, they became very much afflicted. And they came to Vasishtha, beg forgiveness, please forgive us. By mistake we made this. By mistake we committed such a grievous offense to you. And we are truly repentant. We promise we'll never do such a thing. But Vasishtha says, see, when a word leaves my mouth, it's bound to become true. My words never go in vain. So this is another thing. People, those who are very exalted, people, those who are situated in truth, whatever they say becomes reality. And that is the power of truthfulness. If a person is always truthful, then he acquires the ability that whatever he says becomes true. They're known as, this is another kind of a siddhi actually. It's called bak siddhi. Bak means speech and siddhi means perfection. The perfection of speech, whatever they say becomes true. So Vasishtha said, you know, words that have come out of my tongue is bound to be true. It will not go in vain. So you have to take birth. But if Ganga agrees to be your mother, then you'll be delivered right after your birth. You'll take birth, but you'll be delivered right after that. So then they performed austerity, approached Ganga, begged her, performed great austerities to please her. And then Ganga agreed to become their mother. Ganga agreed to come to the earth planet just in order to become their mother, so that they can get delivered right after their birth. Now, it again goes back, like, this is the chain of history. It's not just one incident haphazardly happening one after another, but there is some trace, some reasons behind things are happening, like the karmic reactions. So there was a king who, due to his pious activities, was elevated to the Brahma Loka, to Satya Loka. And one day, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, Ganga appeared with a pitcher full of water for Brahma to bathe the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Abhishek. And at that time, in gentle breeze, Ganga's sari became displaced and her breast became exposed. So that king just kept on looking at her exposed breast. And Brahma noticed that, and Brahma told that, "You are not fit to become a resident of Satyaloka. Go back to the earth planet." And as a result of that, this king had to come down to the earth planet from Satyaloka, from the abode of Lord Brahma. And Brahma told, "Since you desire Ganga, that desire will be fulfilled, but in the earth planet." So that personality became King Shantanu. And Ganga was destined to become his wife. So another incident that correlates. So then Ganga came to the earth planet. One day Shantanu was hunting in the forest. And on the bank of the Ganges, he saw this exquisitely beautiful woman. And he became attracted to her and asked, "Who are you? Are you a denizen of heaven, or Gandharva Loka, or Kinnara Loka, or are you a human being? Whoever you are, I want to marry you. I am King Shantanu in the Chandra dynasty, in the Moon dynasty." And so Ganga agreed to become his wife, but she made a condition that if you ever question my action, or if you ever chastise me, I will leave you. I'll marry you only on that condition, that you'll never chastise me and you'll never question my actions. Shantanu agreed. Then, in due course of time, a child was born. Right after the childbirth, Ganga took the baby and threw the baby in the river. Naturally, Shantanu was completely heartbroken, but he couldn't say anything because he knew that was a condition, that he cannot question Ganga's action, nor can he ever chastise her. So in this way, one after another, seven children were born, and all the seven children were thrown in the river right after childbirth, right after their birth. So when the eighth child was born and Ganga was carrying the baby to the river, Shantanu stopped her and said, "How can you act like this? How can you kill your own children like this right after their birth? So please spare this child and do not act in such an abominable way." Ganga said, "Okay, since you desire that this child be spared, this child I will not throw in the river. But since you have questioned since you broke your promise, I'll leave you. I'll take the child because he needs my care, and when he grows up, I'll send him back to you." Now, who are those seven children and who is the eighth child? The seven Vasus who were cursed by Vasishtha that they would take birth on the earth planet, but again, the curse was countered that, okay, right after your birth, you'll be delivered. So apparently from this perspective, from this earthly perspective, it may sound so cruel, so unfortunate an act. The mother is killing her child right after the birth. But from the heavenly perspective, we can see it was a benediction that right after their birth, they got delivered. Now Bhishma, the eighth one, was destined to stay here for a long, long time. Now see, let's see another incident. When Bhishma grew up, his name was actually Devabrata, and Ganga returned Bhishma to Devabrata to Shantanu when he grew up, 16 years old. And Shantanu became very fond of Bhishma. They were practically together all the time. And Bhishma was an exceptional person, extremely valiant, extremely wise. Ganga not only took Bhishma to the heavenly planet to rear him up, but Ganga actually put Bhishma under the custody of Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, to teach him the scriptures. So in this way, Bhishma was one of the wisest persons. And Bhishma was put in under the care of Parashuram, the warrior incarnation of the Lord, to teach him the art of warfare. So he was an extremely valiant person. And so naturally, Shantanu, King Shantanu, was very proud of him. And he became very fond of him. So one day Shantanu came back from hunting, and Bhishma saw that he behaved in an unusual way. When he returned to the palace, he did not address Bhishma. He just walked straight into his room, and he looked very morose. So Bhishma asked him, "What happened, father?" He said, "No, nothing. I'm just tired." So Bhishma asked the chariot driver of his father, "What happened today?" The chariot driver narrated the whole incident, that when he was hunting on the river bank, he came across an extremely beautiful woman. She was ferrying passengers across the river Ganges, and he fell in love with her right upon seeing her, because she was a woman of exquisite beauty. So he asked her who she was and expressed his desire to marry her. So the woman replied, "Well, I am the daughter of the king of fishermen, and if you want to marry me, then go and ask my father." So Shantanu went and told the king of the fishermen that he wanted to marry his daughter. And when the fisherman got to know who he was, and when he got to know this desire, he said, "Yeah, I'm very happy. It's my good fortune that the person, king from the Moon Dynasty, who's the ruler of the Earth planet, wants my daughter in marriage. But I have one condition, that my daughter's son has to be the successor to the throne. Only on that condition I can give you my daughter." Shantanu said, "Well, I already have a son. And he's a natural successor to the throne." The king of the fishermen said, "Then bad luck, I can't offer you my daughter." So as a result of that, Shantanu became very much heartbroken. So Bhishma told the charioteer, take me to that king of the fishermen. So Bhishma went to the king of the fishermen and said, look, my father wanted to marry your daughter, and I believe the only obstacle is that you wanted, that he could not promise that your daughter's son will be the successor to the throne. Now I am actually his son. So I am giving you my word of honor that I'll relinquish all my claim to the throne and your daughter's son will become the king. Fisherman king said, that's very nice. But you may relinquish your right to the throne, but what about your children? They may claim their right to the throne, and then there will be fratricidal war. So Bhishma said, okay, then I take a vow that I'll never get married. And that promise, that vow was so terrible. I mean, such an inconceivable vow for a Kshatriya. The Kshatriyas are in a mode of passion. By nature, they have a tendency to enjoy. Now for a Kshatriya, king, a prince, to take a vow that he will remain a celibate lifelong is an incredible vow. That's why the demigods in the heavenly planet started to proclaim, it's an incredible vow. What they said is Bhishma, such a terrible vow. And they started to shower flowers from the heaven. So as a result of this proclamation of the demigods, Bhishma, Devavrata's name became Bhishma. Okay, now let's remember that this eighth Vasu, because of stealing the cow, was destined to remain on the earth planet for a long, long time. Right? The other seven Vasus got delivered, but this particular Vasu, who actually stole the cow, he was destined to be on the earth planet for a very long time. So Bhishma then goes back to his father. He takes this fisherman's daughter and he tells his father, okay, father, I brought this lady that you wanted to marry. And when the father got to know what actually happened, his father blessed him. You will die. You will die only when you will desire to. He gave him the benediction of Ichha Mrittu. Death according to his own wish. Otherwise he wouldn't die. Only if he wanted to die, would he ever die. Now do we see the course of karmic reaction? So father gave, which appeared to be actually a blessing. I bless you that you will not die unless you desire to. Was actually the outcome of the curse that you and he will have to be here on the earth planet for a long, long time. So in this way, in Mahabharata, it becomes very clear, because since it is dealing with many, many lifetimes, not only just one lifetime or happening of an individual in just one lifetime, we see that the karmic reaction, how effective it is. Okay, now let us see another stroke of fate. Man is not a controller. Man proposes, God disposes. We may want, but ultimately it will depend upon whether Krishna wants it or not. So this fisherman king, the father of Satyavati, the wife of Shantanu, was so eager to have his daughter's child to become the king. But Shantanu Shantanu dying. Satavati didn't get any child. Shantanu dying before she could get any child. And now there was no successor to the throne. Bhishma is the only successor. So I'm sorry. Actually, Shantanu got two. I'm sorry. Satavati got two children. Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. I got a little mixed up here. So, through Satavati, he got two children, Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. So, Chitrangada died in a battle with the Gandharva king, who also had the same name. Chitrangada was so valiant, such a warrior, such a powerful warrior, that people started to say that there is no equal to Chitrangada. So this Gandharva king, whose name also was Chitrangada, he said, who says there is no equal to him? And how dare, he has my name. So there will be only one Chitrangada, who will be the unique, unequal one. So saying that, he just went to challenge Chitrangada in a battle. And for a long, long time, both of them fought. And eventually, Chitrangada, the son of Shantanu, died. Then Vichitravirya at that time was just a young boy. But he was coronated in the throne. And Bhishma got two daughters, actually three daughters of the king of Kashi, to be his wives. And the eldest of them, the Ambika, Amba, the eldest one, was already betrothed to Shalva. So when Bhishma got to know that she already gave her heart to somebody else, so he told her, okay, you go back to King Shalva. But he brought Ambika and Ambalika and got them married to Vichitravirya. And Vichitravirya unfortunately developed tuberculosis, phthisis, and he died. Now there was no successor to the throne. So he so much, the king of the fishermen, so much desired to have his daughter's son to become the king, but the stroke of destiny took them away. And now there is no successor to the throne. Now in other ages, in the Vedic culture, it was authorized that if there is no successor to the family, then the brother can procreate in the womb of the sister-in-law, which has been forbidden in the age of Kali. In the age of Kali, four things have been forbidden, five things have been forbidden rather. Ashramedham, Gabalabdham, Shannasha, Palapostrikam, Devarena, Sutapatti, Kalu, Pancha, Vivarjayat. The five acts have been forbidden in the age of Kali. That is, Ashamed sacrifice, horse sacrifice, Gavalatam, horse sacrifice and cow sacrifice. Sannyas, accepting Ekadanda Sannyas, not Tridanda Sannyas, Ekadanda Sannyas, where one actually merges in where one actually achieves Brahman realization, elevating himself from the mundane platform. So, and sannyas palapautrikam, offering meat in the shraddha of the forefathers. And devarena sutapatti, procreation through the brother-in-law. So these five acts have been forbidden. Kalo pancha vibhajyat has been forbidden in this age of Kali. But in Dwapar Yuga or previous ages, these acts were authorized. So Satyavati then told Bhishma, Bhishma, you, in order to maintain the family line, you procreate in the womb of your sisters-in-law. And Bhishma said, look, I took a vow of celibacy, lifelong celibacy. So then we can see here, Bhishma was forced to take a vow, and now there is no successor to the family, to the throne, and Bhishma, due to his vow, cannot get married or cannot procreate. So then Satyavati told about one incident in her life, that once a Parashar Muni, a very exalted sage, became enchanted by her beauty and wanted her union, and Satyavati succumbed to that, and a son was born right there, and that was Vasudev. And so Vasudev in that way is the half-brother of Vichitravirya and Chitrangada, because they have the same mother. And Vasudev, right after his birth, he assumed his full form and he left the mother and told the mother, whenever you want me, you can just call me, I'll come. So Satyavati called Vasudev. So when Bhishma got to know, when Satyavati told that to Bhishma, Bhishma became very excited. He said, well, then let's call him. And Vasudev was brought in, Vasudev was invited by Satyavati. Vasudev told that he'll have to maintain the family line. Then Vasudev said, okay, then let this lady maintain a strict life of austerity for 1 year. And in this way, when she will become purified, then only she will be able to tolerate my power. And but Satyavati felt that there is an urgency. He said, no, they have to bear the she'll have to bear the child straight away. So Vasudev warned her that, look, I mean, she is a princess, and she will not be able to tolerate my my sight, my smell, and mainly my sight will be too frightening to her. And but Satyavati insisted, and then at night when Vasudev approached Ambika, Vasudev's sight was soft, fierce, matted hair, extremely powerful look. She just couldn't bear to see him. She just closed her eyes. And then Satyavati asked Vas, so Vas, is everything alright? He said, yes, everything is alright. She'll give birth to a very powerful son. She'll give birth to a very powerful son. But unfortunately, since she closed her eyes at that time, the child will be born blind. And that was Dhritarashtra. an extremely powerful, yeah, he had, and as they told him, that he'll have the strength of 1,000 elephants. Not only just 1,000 elephants, 1,000 mad elephants. But he'll be born blind. So Dhritarashtra, although the eldest in the family, eldest son of the family, but, and it is the Vedic custom that the eldest son becomes the successor to the throne. Dhritarashtra couldn't become a king because he was born blind. A blind person is not meant to become a king. So this way we can see how Kala, Krishna's energy in the form of time, controls everything through the karmic reactions. Bhagavad Gita very explicitly makes this point very clear, that how time and karmic reaction are controlling everything in this material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa. Everything is happening in this nature according to the modes and karma, karmic reactions. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As you sow, so shall you reap. A very simple principle. As you sow, so shall you reap. As one acts accordingly, he will be subjected to the reactions. There is no room for chance and accident in this nature. There is nothing called accident. Nothing happens by accident. Only when you cannot relate to the, only when you cannot understand the reason behind the happening, we call it an accident. But when you see things from a broader perspective, then it becomes clear. What is the cause behind the action? Karya, karana. That is the principle. Every action, behind the happening, there is a cause. So, Dhritarashtra was a born blind king, a prince. He couldn't become a king. And he became very envious. He himself couldn't become a king. And even his son was born after Yudhishthira was born. Therefore, he became very envious of Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas. And he even tried to get rid of them. He directly did not arrange that, but his son, his eldest son, Duryodhana, he considered Pandavas to be his arch enemies. And he tried to kill them. He tried to kill Bhima when he was just a little boy. He poisoned him and threw him, tied his hands and feet and threw him in the river Jamuna. But then again, like one may want certain thing and act in a certain way, but if Krishna wants it otherwise, if Krishna's desire is otherwise, then such a thing will never happen. Like Bhima was poisoned as a little boy and tied up with hands and feet and drowned in the river. And Bhima actually went to the Patala Loka, lower region, lower planetary system, in the region where the serpents live, the snakes, the region of snakes. And Bhima fell on the snakes and the snakes started to bite him. And now the snake, the poison of the snakes acted as an antidote to the poison that was given to him. So Bhima came back to his consciousness And he became very angry. "What? These snakes are there biting me?" So he just broke the ropes that he was tied up with, and he started to kill the snakes. And the news reached the king of the serpents, king of snakes, Nagaraj Vasuki. And Vasuki came. Then he was surprised that a human being is killing the snakes in this way. So he came to see. And when he came and he found that it was Bhima, who is actually related to him as his great-grandson. And he was very happy to see Bhima. He invited him to his palace and made him drink nectar. So Duryodhana wanted to kill Bhima, but Bhima not only was revived, but now he got access to the nectar, and by drinking nectar he assumed the power of 1,000 manned elephants, 10,000 manned elephants. So when he went back, he was even more powerful. He was already so powerful that he was beating up Duryodhana and all his 100 brothers. But now he became even more powerful. So this is how Krishna makes all kinds of wonderful arrangements for his devotees. So here also, after Dhritarashtra left, Yudhishthira Maharaj became very much afflicted. He was lamenting, "Why did my uncle leave? He already lost his only son, and we were his only shelter. And now, what did we do that he left all of a sudden like that? Did we ever fail to take care of him properly?" And when he was lamenting in this way, Narada Muni came and he instructed, "Don't worry, everything is happening by the divine arrangement of the Lord. So try to see his hands behind everything. His will is the ultimate consideration. Don't lament, because he has some plans." Thank you all very much. And glory to you, Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Maharaj, do you have any comment? Not personal names?
Yeah, you were giving the name Dhritarashtra.
Yeah.
One might think that probably the time.
No, these are personal names. You see, at the time of birth.
It's almost like an epithet.
Right. At the time of birth, It is like kind of epithet, but it's a name. At the time of birth, or soon after the birth, an astrologer would make the horoscope. And from the horoscope, the person's characteristics will become evident. And then accordingly, he'll give the name. Like, this is a thing called Namkaran Shanskar, name-giving ceremony. Like for Krishna, Garga Muni came, right? And Garga Muni, through his astrological calculation, figured out who this personality was. And therefore he named Krishna and Balaram. So these names are actually not just haphazardly given, and then the individual develops the characteristics. But from the astrological calculation, the person's characters were recognized, and then accordingly the names are given. Duryodhana, who is very difficult to overcome. Dushasan means one who is difficult to control, incontrollable. And Yudhishthira, who is composed even in the middle of a battlefield. That's the name of Bhima, extremely powerful. And they have developed other names also. Yudhishthira Maharaj, say for example, is Ajatashatru, whose enemy was not born. Another name of Arjun is Sabbasachi, who can shoot arrows with equal dexterity with both hands. So this is how the names were actually pinned.
Also, you were mentioning that Bhishma, that name is terrible vowel. But the Devabrata also means
a vowel,
right?
No, Devabrata means one who is situated in demigod-like activities.
Vrata doesn't mean vowel.
Vrata means actions in pious activities. So I will stop now because I have to go. I have an appointment at 10 o'clock in Manhattan. So I'll stop now. Hi, Bob. Nice to see you. You'll be driving now to, or you can, Krishna. No, I'm sorry. Radhavalla Prabhu. Yeah. So, I'll be going to sanctuary. How did you come? Did you come by car? You came by train. No, we have a car. So I was wondering, like, how long does it take to go? To drive, if we drive? 10 minutes to drive? Okay. So there won't be much traffic. From here there won't be traffic. Okay, fine. Thank you. I received a letter from Jagupurush Prabhu. He went to Vrindavan. He's come. When is he coming back?
He's coming back
on Monday. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Thank you all very much. I'm very happy to see you all. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande.